Well, this morning, a new exhibition opened at the St. Louis Art Museum. Currents 108, subtitled Raycraft is Dead, is a mix of photography, video, and collage, and it explores such things as paranoia and surveillance. The themes hit close to home for artist Wanju Lim. In fact, home, her home, is a key element to this work. Wanju Lim joins us now, along with the museum's Associate Curator for Modern and Contemporary Art, Tricia Paik. Welcome to you both.
Great. Thanks so much for having us, Steve.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Wanju, as a bit of a background, you were born in Korea. You and your family moved to Southern California when you were fairly young, Los Angeles area. And you're here in St. Louis as a teaching fellow at the Sam Fox School of Design and Visual Arts at Washington University. So you've been here, what, a month or two?
About a month this time. I was here for a month last fall.
Well, welcome. Architecture seems to be one of the themes that runs through a lot of your work, including this one.
Yes. I studied architecture as an undergrad and practiced for a little bit and soon realized that that as a practice is not one that's not right for me. So I decided to go and get my MFA, still pursuing architecture, but not as a practice, but as some kind of an interest that's ongoing and that I've been kind of investigating for the last 15 years now.
Well, see, I always think of architecture as being very creative, but maybe not creative enough for you?
The practice itself is very different. I think there are a lot of obstacles, such as, you know, building codes and gravity and clients that are not so interesting for me. But there's kind of a spatial relationship that is of a big interest for me that has to do with psychological and the phenomenological aspect of space that is really pretty much apparent in my work.
We'll get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
Tricia Paik, now you have some sort of involvement in the fellowship that brought Wanju here to begin with. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course, of course. So Wanju Lim is this year's Freund Fellow for the academic year of 2013-14. And it's a competitive program whereby Washington University and the St. Louis Art Museum is invites artists to apply. And so it's a very competitive program, and my colleague over at WashU, Patricia Olenek, the director of graduate studies there, we pour through countless applications and have to choose two artists biennially, and Wanju was the one we chose for this calendar year, and we chose her because of her distinctive approach, as she was talking about, this interest that people have in how we actually participate in real space and how we live in space, how we engage in everyday architecture in our homes, in public spaces. And what happens with this fellowship is that they teach for 1 month in the fall, 1 month in the spring. They travel from where they live at the MFA program at WashU. And then in the springtime, they're folded into our ongoing Currents exhibition series that features contemporary art. So that's why she's Currents 108, Wanju Lim. And so that's what we're celebrating today.
Mm-hmm. And have you found your time here so far?
Oh, it's been really amazing. The city is really such an interesting city. But what for me was the most amazing experience is the people that I've met. The people that I met at WashU and the Sam Fox School, the people that I met through the museum, that's the part that was really that I take back home with me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I read an interview, Tricia, that you did with Wanju. It was an interview, and you talked about artists turning something that's problematic into something poetic. I don't know if you remember that part.
Yeah,
of the
no, of course. That's actually lifting from Wanju, what she was saying, and that's going back to what she was saying, why she shifted from exploring architecture into being an artist, which was that. As you were saying, architects, they have to solve the problem and fix a problem that might arise in the building of a building, whether code mm-hmm. or even the city, for example. But she was saying that she, as an artist, doesn't really have to address those problems and fix them. Instead, she can, in a fancy term, problematize that and actually make an artwork from those problems and make it into something that's a poetry. And that's the concept that I think we were talking about.
Right. And oftentimes, those kind of problems, the things that rise as problematic issues, then could be pushed, dramatized, maybe even become absurd. And within the studio, then it becomes interesting issues to not solve, but to actually think about. And sometimes it goes into an idea, you know, that is, you know, that kind of problem could be conceptualized in a certain way, but oftentimes it could be formalized as well.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could give a specific, if you don't mind my asking her questions,
go right ahead.
Of what you mean by a particular kind of problem that connects with your current show, a problem of space. You were talking
right.
about how L.A. houses over the years have been added on, and so they don't become these logical spaces, and how you
right.
view those as problems.
Well, I don't know if it is problem. Actually, I did not think of them as problems. I thought they were it's kind of a wonderful, you know, kind of area to think about, such as these kind of houses that are of many styles that talk about different history in architecture, different taste of the owners. That gets added on as the houses get developed.
Let me just jump in there,
yeah,
because
sure.
I said earlier that this hits home for you, and it really does, because it involves your home. So just to be clear for everyone listening, this is an installation work, so it contains many different things, including something, a model, I guess, of your house in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Anyway, you're calling this Ray Craft is Dead, so why don't we begin there?
Okay.
We're talking about Mr. Ray Craft. And he was a neighbor of yours, and it became a very unusual, I guess, uncomfortable relationship.
Yes. I think he once owned this one-acre property. And in the late 70s, as far as I know about the history of my house, in the late 70s, he divided his one-acre property into two and sold the second half to the first owner of my house. I think that might have been the beginning of this kind of ownership of land and being, and this ownership of territory. But my relationship with him has been about a decade of feuding, and there are many juicy stories to tell, but I won't tell those stories.
But come on.
Now we want to know.
But for me, it's not so much. I mean, at the time, it was really horrible, but for me, this show is not so much about these feuds or even Ray Craft. It's about, as a result of that experience, I got to thinking about ownership of space, ownership of time, ownership of spaces that you don't have visible or physical access to.
Yeah, you talk about your house confused you when you started examining it more closely. Like
yes.
walls didn't line up exactly like two walls might come together, but there's a yes. space back there you can't account for, stuff
yes.
like that.
Yes, there are a lot of spaces like that in my – there are a lot of spaces like that in my house, which I didn't realize until much later that, you know, like I just turn around this corner at this kind of upstairs area, and there must be at least 2 feet of gap between where the stairs are and where the closet part falls from the other side of the house. So there are many spaces like that, not upon – a closer examination, and I think that's a space of anxiety, of paranoia, but also a fantasy.
Your paranoia?
Yes, mine, and one's, and maybe when it comes to domestic space, that happens in basements, it happens between walls, and when Tricia was asking about how that kind of problem becomes poetic, in the case with this exhibition, I really pushed that, and further, by breaking the walls of the museum itself.
Yeah, there's one area in the corner. She's got this corner sculpture, actually called Corner Set, in the corner. And she was able to convince us and the director of the museum to break into part of the walls, just the drywall layer.
Wow.
To kind of show this, the kind of insides of the house and the structure, and to get into those spaces that she's talking about you don't have visible access to.
All right, let's paint a picture of your exhibition. I was there a few days ago while you were actually installing it, so I didn't see it quite all put together, but I had a few minutes in the room. And let's talk about the house, first of all. There was some sort of small scale production of your house. It was sitting on a board.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was at some point it was going to be like suspended from the ceiling and maybe actually would spin or something.
It wasn't
hooked up yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Well, explain that.
But it's not your house. Explain that it's not your house.
Right. It's the title of the piece is called Bastard. And the form of the sculpture is an offspring of two forms, one of my house and one of Ray Craft's house. and it is hanging, it's suspended, it's hanging using link chains, and it's hooked to a motor, then that gets turned on every 3 minutes, spinning the whole sculpture. So I think, yeah, to describe it, I think that's what you probably saw.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you'll have to come back and see it, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see. Another thing I noticed, there was a projection, and it caught my attention. It was a projection onto a wall, a film, and it was actually projected into the corner.
That's right.
Which sort of was unusual to me, and then what was actually being projected was interesting. So explain that.
Yes, this also kind of goes back to the way I was talking about the space in that house that we don't have access to. So that projection piece is titled Endoscopy. And it's actually really an endoscopy of my house. That is, I hired a plumber and using a snake camera went through the piping of my house. So it's, in a way, it's a very simple piece, and that's all it really is. There wasn't that much editing to it. And but I really like this kind of investigating this private space. And it's a really perverse view into the house.
Also things that are hidden in those spaces that you're not sure they're not either.
That's right.
It kind of all ties together there.
That's right.
And I think maybe, Wanju, the importance is that even though it's an investigation of your home and past experiences, you're not trying to offer a closed experience that's just about you, but it's really more a universal approach to the home, because everyone, you know, has their own experiences of living in their home and seeing lighting on the walls that look a little bit different, or everyone has those own experiences.
Briefly mention a couple other elements of your exhibition. I think there's some collages and...
That's right.
What wasn't put up when I was there? What's there now?
I think the two panels were up, the collages, right, and the photographs were up. I think the only thing that maybe you didn't experience was the spinning of Bastard. And so, yeah.
Well, you opened this morning. I know you were out there earlier, and
yes,
there's some people there. What kind of reaction or feedback have you had?
Oh, there was a lot of – I think Friday must be like a field trip day. There were a lot of elementary school kids, and they were just – they really want to get close to the spinning sculpture.
I bet.
And so I was a little bit worried about it. But, they were trying to climb in on those platforms.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents Currents 108, Wanju Lim. It opened today. The exhibition runs through July 27th at the St. Louis Art Museum. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the museum's website. You know, architecture, Wanju, is a theme that is often addressed in your installations, not just this one.
Yes.
As you mentioned before, you studied architecture in college. So I can't help but think, any actual thoughts of designing some real space someday? Does that appeal to you at all?
As an artist, yes. I think a lot of artists do this. I can name, you know, a few artists that are really kind of, they do this very successfully, and they're part of architecture in some ways. But I'm not interested in having a firm. I'm not interested in that kind of practice. I think a lot of things that I'm doing as an artist in some ways is kind of designing space. I am in some ways continuing my practice.
Maybe designing an art museum
would
be something.
Oh, I would be really interested in exhibition design, yes.
Well, St. Louis is often noted, you know, for the architecture we have here from the 19th century. If you've been here a while, what do you think of our architecture? Any thoughts?
Oh, it's so beautiful here. There's a lot of glimpses of German Gothic architecture. The consistency of the bricks throughout the city is really amazing. And for me, what I'm finding really interesting is this kind of combination of new and the old, the fast growing and the abandoned. To me, this kind of combination, it's really romantic.
And Tricia, just very very briefly, what's your take on Wanju's work?
Oh, I could talk for a long time, but I know I won't have too much time. What I really love about her work is how she makes her work allow for us to see the everyday experience of space. And I know that was not very vague. That was very vague, but it's hard for me to say.
That's Tricia Paik. She's the Associate Curator for Modern Contemporary Art at the St. Louis Art Museum. And we're talking also with Wanju Lim, who's an installation artist. And her exhibition just up at the St. Louis Art Museum until July the 27th. I have to ask this. Ray Kraft is dead. That's a statement. Is that a statement of relief, sadness, joy, or just a fact?
All of those, all of the above. It is a relief, but it's also an end of an era, I think.
And is it behind you?
It is behind me. Even I'm still living in the same house, but it is behind me. The Ray Crafts, that is the family, still they're still living there. So I'm a little worried about if they're going to be listening to this or not.
We'll send them a copy. Wanju Lim, thanks so much. Tricia Pegg, thank you for being
here.
Thank you
so much.
Nice meeting you. Next week on Cityscape, in the next of our series Sound Bites, produced with Sauce Magazine, we're going to take a look at the role of chefs in places other than restaurants. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he and his guests will talk about how to make neighborhoods what their residents want them to be. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer with assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, and Amanda Hunnickfort. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next week.